All right, ladies, buckle up.
It's showtime. It's showtime.
It's showtime.
It's showtime.
Good morning, everyone. It's that kind of morning, everyone. Welcome to another episode of Matinee Talk. I am one of your hosts, Johnny Lightfoot, with me as always,
Julian Owens.
Today we got a special episode. We're going to be reviewing, Terminator Dark Fate. We'll get into some spoilers on that, but we also did a early screening of Dr. Sleep, so we'll also dig into that as well. Before we get into that, what do we got with the box office?
So this past weekend, I mean, it's not that bad, but specifically for Terminator, it was a disappointing weekend. So let's just start with the numbers. For number one was Terminator Dark Fate with only $29 million, which for a Terminator movie that's even as disappointing as Terminator Genesis, which I think only made like 25 in the first weekend, but besides the point. Number two was Joker with $13 million, bringing its domestic total up to $299 million. Also being the most top-grossing rated R film, passing up Deadpool. And so Joker's still doing some really great business after 5 weeks. Number three is going to be Maleficent, Mistress of Evil, bringing in $13 million, bringing its domestic total to $85.2 million. Number four, bringing in the opening weekend, it's also Harriet from Focus Features with $11 million. And rounding out will be number five, which is Adam's Family with $8 million, bringing its domestic total to $85 million.
Any surprises there?
I will say two of them that, well, I'm going to just say I'm surprised that Terminator Dark Fate did as little, right?
Yeah.
Just because of how much promotion Paramount has been throwing for Terminator Dark Fate. I guess we'll talk about that later. I guess a lot of people have fatigue for the Terminator franchise. And the other one that I'm kind of surprised about is Harriet, just because of, from at least for people that I know, have a kind of a, lack of a better term, bad publicity with what happened with Harriet, and I didn't think a lot of people would still watch it, but I guess it's still making some business. But other than those two, no, not really. It's just a very slow November. What about you?
No surprises. I think the biggest surprise is the fact that even with the good critical response from Terminator, still it's that franchise fatigue that just nobody wants to go see the Terminator movie right now.
And I guess we'll talk about that in a moment, but I just don't understand it, but it is what it is. Now we're gonna go straight into Blu-ray and DVD releases that'll be coming out this week and next week. Yep. I think this week is gonna be Fast and Furious Presents Hobbs and Shaw.
Yep.
Scary Stories to Tell in the Dark. And then
a couple of Disney animated movies.
Say, yeah,
so like, Moana, Big Hero 6, Zootopia, Tangled, Princess and the Frog all in 4K.
And then on the following week, we have Peanut Butter Falcon and we have Good Boys that'll be coming out.
Yep.
So for all of those movies, I really liked Good Boys. Mm-hmm. It was very funny. We talked about it multiple times on the podcast already, so we enjoyed that one. I haven't watched Scary Stories to Tell in the Dark. I think that's going to be the one I'm going to buy. Did you enjoy it, right?
I enjoyed it, especially for a PG-13 horror movie.
Okay.
But I really like Andre Overdahl. Autopsy of Jane Doe's fantastic. And yeah, I'm going to be grabbing the steelbook of that one.
Okay. And I haven't seen Peanut Butter Falcon, but I know
Johnny, that one's so good.
I'm about to say Johnny really likes Peanut Butter Falcon, so I'm gonna give it a shot. We already told you that we probably not gonna watch Fast and Furious Presents Hobbs and Shaw. I probably might rent it.
I might rent it, or if it shows up on like HBO,
Yeah, it's gonna pop up on HBO in about another 3 or 4 months, so I might just wait for that. But out of all of those, I believe Johnny would tell you Peanut Butter Falcon and Scary Stories to Tell in the Dark would be one. And if
maybe Big Hero 6. I really like Big Hero 6.
If you're a huge Disney fanboy, like some of us are, I would definitely get Zootopia. I loved Zootopia for some apparent reason. And Big Hero 6, because the animation alone already looked amazing when both of those films came out. I can only imagine what it looked like with 4K remastering, because Disney is the only studio that has a very great success record when it comes to remastering their movies in 4K. So if I were you, I would try to look at those two and see if you can put those in your collection. But That's all the Blu-ray movies that we have seen.
Yep.
Now with that, I guess we're going to go straight into our double feature review. Yep.
Terminator Dark Fate.
So Terminator Dark Fate is Tim Miller and James Cameron's newest addition to the Terminator franchise. They basically erased 3, 4, and 5, which is Rise of the Machines, Salvation, and Genesis. Thank God we erased Genesis. Basically, it follows, without spoiling everything, it follows a girl who's a human augmented human, basically going to follow this girl that has some key to the future, and basically Sarah Connor basically follows or basically meets them and basically tries to help protect the girl from a new Terminator who basically can duplicate himself and feast with almost other materials. That's as much we're going to give you in terms of the story. Before I go on my rant, I want to know, how do you feel, or what did you like about Terminator Dark Fate?
Wow, folks, you can really tell the weather is changing here in Austin.
Yes, it is.
I appreciated that they weren't afraid to deviate from the lore a little bit. And obviously, they had Cameron's blessing with that. And, you know, take the franchise in a different direction, because obviously rehashing the same thing wasn't working. So they were like, okay, let's try something new. Let's try something different while still keeping those things that people remember from the previous movies, a la let's bring back Linda Hamilton, bring back Arnold again, and do that. So I appreciate that. I thought the action was really good. I thought the CG was well done. The acting, I thought Linda Hamilton was great.
I thought her and Mackenzie Davis.
Mackenzie Davis,
wow,
was awesome. Her physicality, and she just badass. Like, put her in a superhero movie.
I would be down to see her basically be the new Sigourney Weaver, Linda Hamilton. Like, I would love to see that come from Mackenzie, because she does a phenomenal job in Terminator Dark Fate. I would agree with you. The CGI, especially the de-aging for certain actors and actresses, was phenomenal. I'm like, wow, Paramount knows how to do this better than Warner Brothers. This is ridiculous. Mm-hmm. Okay. That, and the way that they started changing certain things about the story or the rehashing of the franchise and try to bring a new spin to it was really good. Now, I know a lot of Terminator fanboys, which, I mean, I consider myself one, hate the fact that they changed quite a lot about the franchise. And I feel like it's the exact same thing with how some of us feel about Star Wars. And it's just, I understand we have a certain quota or a certain thing that we want out of the franchise, but it's not bad if somebody decides that they want to deviate or change the course of the franchise just because the franchise has been doing the exact same thing for almost 35 years now. And so I love the change. I love Mackenzie. I love Linda Hamilton. I'll honestly say this is Linda Hamilton's best performance since T2. I enjoyed every moment of it. Now, which brings me to my question. How do you feel about Arnold Schwarzenegger's involvement in the movie?
I thought it was fine. Was it needed? No. But it gave a little extra something. And the way you set up this Terminator villain kind of makes it to where if you didn't have some sort of extra firepower, you weren't going to be able to beat him.
Beat him in the first place, right. I agree. The only thing was, I guess my only thing was, out of all of the movie, out of the entire film, they use the comic relief when Arnold gets in the film, which isn't bad, but I guess I was like, I wish I had a little bit more of that before we get in there, because Tim Miller is just huge on making jokes, so maybe just a little jokes here and there. And what I will also say, and this is why I enjoyed this film a little bit better than most of the Terminators, including 3 through 5, was the fact that this Terminator did not care to, I mean, was very resourceful in using the technology nowadays, right? And using, you know, AI, security, like how basically people keep, like how the government can track us and stuff like that, and how it tracks almost every movement and where they're going and stuff like that. And I really appreciate it that it's not just, okay, this android is going to decide to come and kill us and he's just going to be just some machine. No, I'm going to use the resources that's in this time, find out how to get access to this person, and we're going to go from there. And I really, really appreciated that, and I liked that about this film. It did a span that I wished more Terminators would have took advantage of, but none of them really did. So I don't know. I really did enjoy that from Dark Fate.
Yeah, and I mean, like I said, they went in a different direction. The villain, who's actually from here in Austin, I'm dying here, folks. Gabriel Luna, like, he's basically, he doesn't duplicate himself. It's like he has his skeleton and his skin. So yes, it's like he's a T-800 and a 1000 combined.
And I guess that's one of the things I really did. Like, Gabriel Luna brought a different aspect to it. Because you could see Robert Patrick, like, his essence of, like, T-1000 coming in as well. But you saw some aspects of how the T-800 from Terminator 2 also was basically saying, okay, I'm going to show my different movement, my mechanics. And he does a really well job, good job with that. And even, I kind of was a little bit upset about it, but not as much. So, like, how Gabriel Luna in the very beginning changed his voice to certain aspects of it, and how he changed his body every once in a while, but they didn't do that throughout the rest of the movie. And I was just like, well, can we still use this Terminator's, like, resources? Because Gabriel Luna does a phenomenal job of changing his voice a little bit to basically get what he needs to do. So, I don't know. I still loved it, but I just wish...
Yeah, he kind of does like Robert Patrick does, where, you know, when he's talking to law enforcement a lot, yes, like, to get what he wants, like, he'll joke around a little bit with the law enforcement, like he's one of the boys.
And I really enjoyed that out of this movie. And I don't know. I think this is... I would agree with most critics that this is the best Terminator we had since Terminator 2. Unfortunately, it's not saying much. But I still would rather watch this one over 3, mm-hmm, Salvation or Genesis.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
The only thing I would say is if they decide, which I hope they won't, if they decide to go do another Terminator, I would want to go back into the future where basically they try to understand or fight through the Terminators and whatever aspect that is. But maybe I would see that. So, okay. Onto that note, is there anything else that you wanted to speak about with Terminator Dark Fate?
I think without spoilers, I gave it 3.5. I've seen it twice.
Okay.
So I really dug it. So yeah.
I mean, the only other thing I like it was the action sequences. The only thing was the car chase scene wasn't that bad. The last factory scene, the last action scene in the factory, it was just explosion, but it was a big CGI fight, of course, which isn't too terrible after something happens we're not going to discuss. And there was some moments where I was just like, okay, this seems a little choppy. But other than that, I loved every single action sequence. You could tell Mackenzie and her stunt double does a phenomenal job. I feel like this one was a more tight, close action sequence shots and a little bit more personal than most of the other Terminators were, and I appreciated that a lot. And yes, I get it that some people don't want change, but this change seemed more refreshing and more vibrant for the Red franchise more than any other change that we've gotten in the last 15 years. So I enjoyed this movie a lot. I'm definitely going to be looking forward to buying it on Blu-ray or 4K Blu-ray because I'm like, wow, all right, I like this. And if they decided they're going to do a different, like, change to the franchise, I'm waiting for it. I'm kind of anticipating it now. I just wish more people would be more open to change. Like, I don't know. I just feel like this is the same thing with Star Wars, how some people are just hating the fact that the new trilogy is different from
what the original six are. A few of the negative reviews I've read have nothing to do with the actual movie itself. Yep. It's because they don't like that a few certain things happen within the movie. So it's it's not that they don't like the movie, it's they don't like something happens in the movie.
Yeah. And I feel
and like that's why they give it a negative review.
And I feel like that's not a right way of doing that. Just because you don't like the way two or three things happen in the film, you give the movie a bad rating. I mean, there's always movies that's not going to do what you want. You shouldn't give a movie a bad rating for that. But I digress. I completely digress. And I think that would be a good segue to talk about
spoilers.
Yes. So, I mean, we'll go into non-spoilers, then spoilers, or do you want to just go...
No. Spoilers on Dark Fate.
Oh, you want to go spoilers, Dark Fate? Okay, cool.
Because Dr. Sleep's not out yet, folks.
I was about to say, okay. So, spoilers for Dark Fate. If you haven't seen Dark Fate, I would suggest pausing the podcast now. maybe give us 5 or 10 minutes, because we're about to go deep spoilers, or just come back after you finish Dark Fate. But here's your spoiler warning. I love the fact in the first 2 minutes
John Connor got blasted.
Like, I'm like, wow, okay, Messiah is dead. Okay, cool. Yep.
JC is dead.
And my thing was, and some people were trying to argue, and to your point earlier, a lot of people were arguing the fact that, well, Skynet shouldn't be sending Terminators now, or sending Terminators in these different time points and stuff like that. It's like, I mean, I get what you're saying, but also at the same time, they're showing and blowing up Terminators at different time points. And let's be honest, most of the things that were going on in Terminator 2 and Terminator were good, but in terms of consistent story-wise, there wasn't there. Why are we nitpicking Terminator Dark Fate just because they killed John Connor?
Yeah. Okay. That was the biggest one I heard from people who were like, you can't kill John Connor. John Connor is the main focus of the whole story. If you kill John Connor, then that means Terminator 2 and the first one were for nothing. It's like, no, they still defeated Skynet.
It's not our fact that, and I think this is their issue. I mean, and I think this is what the biggest thing is what I agree with how Tim Miller and James Cameron did this. I mean, do we still forget that human nature is still human nature? Mm-hmm. I mean, let's say, for instance, all of a sudden we destroy Amazon Alexa. What's going to stop another company to do the exact same thing as Amazon Alexa? Like, guys, like, I don't understand what the gripe is. There's always going to be some AI that we want to use, and it's just going to go and do the exact same thing. Just because it's not Skynet, it's going to be somebody else, which... I love how they said with Legion, it was the same thing. It was for nuclear warfare, and they were trying to do an AI to be able to help with that. And literally, first thing was, shut off all phones, shut off all communications, shut off all satellites. Then they let us kill ourselves, and then they started coming and taking over the planet. Which, I'm like, wow, okay, that's better than Skynet just saying, all right, we're dropping nukes, kill everybody.
Yeah, basically, this one, it made the humans start killing themselves first.
And that's what I really appreciate. I was like, wow, okay, you know what? Now I can see that actually happening.
Yep.
We lose all technology. We lose all communications. Governments get mad at each other and start nuking each other. And after all the dust settles, Legion is going to come in and say, all right, we're going to start killing the rest of the human race. Let's get it started. Like, I can actually see that happening.
Yeah, and I mean, Mackenzie Davis's character, Grace, she said her dad got killed over a can of peaches. And then Arnold's Terminator, Carl, when he has that shed full of guns, and the girl asks him why he has all those, he said, like, humans inherently, like, will turn against one another, so it was inevitable that he was going to need them to protect his family.
So that's why I love the fact that they glanced over and talked about human nature and how, unfortunately, something like this is inevitable in the franchise. And I'm like, well, I mean, kind of parallels to what's going on, but whatever. I completely get it. So I love the different spin that they put on there. Now, let me ask this. How'd you feel? I keep forgetting the actor's name. She basically is the new John Connor.
Oh, Danny?
Yes.
I thought she was fine. Honestly, out of like the main group of people, I felt she was kind of the weakest.
Okay.
Except for when they would give her, like, moments to be, like, really stern and, like, giving orders.
Like how she does by the end of the film.
Uh-huh.
I was going to say that they kind of make her timid before in the beginning, first third, even almost first half of the movie. And then she becomes the excuse me, she becomes a John Connor for the rest of the film, and how she gives orders and how she wants to basically take the fate and put it in her own, like, be the only person who masters her own fate or chooses her own fate, right? And I was sitting there saying, huh, okay, I like this aspect of it, because we didn't really even see John do that in Terminator 2. The only thing John did was basically change the T-800 to become more human. He never made any, like, leadership decisions. Only helped stop his mom from killing Dyson, and basically helped T-800, like, destroy T-1000 and become human. And have a new catchphrase. That's basically all mm-hmm. John did, where she kind of helps them defeat Rev-9, which is the new name for the Terminator, which yeah. was pretty different and refreshing for the franchise.
Yeah.
I guess, how did you feel about Rev-9 as a Terminator himself?
I mean, to be honest, like, there's only so much you can do now, because they've had so many different variations. I mean, like I said, he's kind of like a combination of 800 and 1000, but so was the TX in Terminator 3.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it was kind of a combination, but I think the thing is, Gabriel Luna is a better actor than Christina Loken,
yeah.
who was the TX. And I think that the humor in Dark Fate is better than the humor in 3 or Genesis, because I'm trying to think back. I don't think there was much humor in Salvation, but
no, not really. No.
Definitely there was some forced humor in Terminator 3 and
definitely too much forced humor in Genesis. And I'll say, what I think is I guess a lot of people are upset about that, speaking of which, that Tim Miller and James kind of took bits and pieces from all the other Terminators that they basically said are non-canon and put them in this film. So, for instance, like you said, with the TX, they also took, I would say, some... No, they didn't take any heartbeats from Terminator 2, except for Arnold killing himself to destroy the other Terminator. Basically, the whole idea about the humanoid in Terminator Salvation with... I keep forgetting his name. Sam Worthington. There we go. How Sam Worthington was that humanoid that helped John Connor get a new heart in Terminator Salvation. How, basically, Kinsey's character is the exact same thing in this film. I mean, that's pretty much, like, some of the beats that they took from the other franchises. There's a lot more, but I'm blanking at the moment. And I was pretty intrigued that they did that, even though, like, Halloween 2018 took some aspects of the other franchise movies mm-hmm. that they didn't care for, but were like, okay, we're going to be a direct sequel to Halloween. Same concept, and I didn't mind it. I actually liked it. I really enjoyed that. Because it's like, yeah, we know that these movies, we try to say these movies don't exist, but we're going to take some aspirations that kind of made them interesting and put them in this film, which really, really was cool. And mm-hmm. How did you feel about the action sequences, at least?
I thought they were well done. I wish they wouldn't have shown some of them in the trailers. Like the car chase scene where Mackenzie Davis is throwing those poles and everything. And then that shows the Terminator's ability to, like, split. And then the same thing, like, her with that freaking chain with the claw at the end of it. Like, that's really badass. And they showed a lot of that in the trailers.
And I wish that, I guess for me at least, I know that you had to show Arnold for some apparent reason, but what we could have done is not show Arnold in the trailers and say that he was going to help protect the girl or anything like that. I don't know. I feel like they could have saved a lot of story beats out of the trailers, push on that notion. I guess my other question is going to be for the final scene. One of my biggest problems was the whole two cargo planes blowing up each other, and they mm-hmm. just used that as a way to get to the dam at the end of the film. I don't know. I just felt like that was a little choppy in certain aspects of it, like the special effects, especially when Rev-9 goes and basically glides the plane over and he jumps on, and then they start fighting inside the cargo.
Yeah, I didn't care for the exterior shot stuff of the planes, but I like the stuff where they're actually fighting inside the plane.
Like floating and, like, fighting each other in the air and stuff like that. Okay. And then I guess the other controversial part of the movie, a lot of people are upset that this T-101 basically, after he kills John, just decides to walk the earth for 2 years mm-hmm. before he basically has a quote-unquote change of purpose and change of like programming. How did you feel about that?
I mean, it's a Terminator movie. In Terminator 2, he was learning how to smile and all that stuff from a little asshole 13-year-old. So if a T-101 can do that, I'm sure after spending 20 years living with this family, or close to 20 years, he even says it's not love. He is like, I'm not capable of love in the whatever way that you perceive it, but he has something.
He realizes that he has a connection to these humans. It's not like a love connection, but it's a connection nonetheless, and he respects that and understands that. And I mean, I get it. A lot of people who are purists of the Terminator franchise, they discuss how T2, the T-800, where John had to go take the like a certain part of his brain out and switch it where he can learn a little bit more and stuff like that after they get attacked from trying to acquire Sarah from the mental institution. I'm like, guys, like, I get it, but like, this isn't the same T-800. This is a T-101 from like Terminator. Like, let it be, let it go. And yes, any robot programming can learn not to be its original programming, and I don't understand why everybody's so hating so much, and how he was a plot device to show Sarah all the different Terminators that were coming in from different times to do what they need to do. I don't know. I feel like too many people gripe too much, but it is what it is. Is there anything else that you wanted to discuss about Terminator Dark Fate before we continue to Dr. Sleep?
Nope, that's it.
All right. So I would say, like we said, we gave it both 3.5 stars. We have our moments where we liked the movie. We enjoyed it. I definitely am going to buy this just because, like I said, it's the best Terminator since T2. Yeah. If you get a chance, please go watch Terminator Dark Fate. Now, up to the movie that will be coming out Friday, November 8th, is Dr. Sleep. So Dr. Sleep, I would say, is more of a sequel to the book of The Shining, and not the sequel to Stanley Kubrick's Shining.
Yeah, it's a sequel to the book, but they obviously, because Stanley Kubrick took some liberties, he does have to change some things in the Dr. Sleep movie to match what happened in the Shining movie.
And I would say this movie takes place same as the book, a couple of decades after what happened in The Shining. Mm-hmm. Danny Torrance is basically an alcoholic who basically doesn't want to use his Shining anymore. He wants to distance himself. And let's just say that there's some other people who shine who are trying to absorb other people's shine. And basically they find this girl who is very powerful in terms of learning her powers and stuff like that. So Danny and then the other guys are trying to basically either... I mean, Danny is trying to defend her from these people, and basically it's almost like a chase movie the entire time through, and a thriller nonetheless.
Yeah, it really is more of a, like an adventure thriller where it's this girl in peril, Danny has a connection to her, has to go find her, learn, and then protect her, and then... there's these people, the True Knot. They're essentially kind of like vampires who feed off of the life energy of people who shine. And they've lived for hundreds and hundreds of years, like dating all the way back to like the Roman Empire and stuff like that. So they've been around for a long time. And so, yeah, Danny, like his father, is an alcoholic. Mm-hmm. And he's on some rough times, and it basically shows him course correcting his life and, you know, getting clean, and then going and helping this girl Abra, who is being pursued because of her shine.
And so, with that being said, without jumping into spoilers, because we really don't want to spoil this movie before it comes on theaters this week. What were some things that you liked about the movie in terms of either story,
Ewan McGregor's performance? Ewan McGregor was great as Dan Torrance.
Wholeheartedly.
He was so good. The young girl who played Abra was also really good. Kind of, you know, obviously still a child, but kind of cocky with her powers, with the way she lays the traps. Rebecca Ferguson is perfect as Rose the Hat.
Was absolutely amazing.
And is a very memorable villain. And gosh, she was awesome. And yeah, I mean, the performances were great. The story is very true to the novel. I read the novel probably about a year and a half ago. And then after that, I went back and read The Shining again. And it's very, very, very close to the novel outside of those. There's a few changes that happen where it basically has to change because of what happened in the book. I think Flanagan did a nice job with atmosphere, but it was not scary at any points, really.
No, it wasn't that scary at any
point. So it really was more about just portraying that atmosphere and getting that tension up, so you were scared for Abra and you're wondering what they were going to do. But in the end, you know, it was, you always got fulfilled with whether it be Abra or Danny or Dan's friend Billy doing something to beat the True Knot.
Beat the True Knot and help protect Abra. I was going to say, Ewan did a phenomenal performance. I loved Rebecca. I loved the girl who played Abra. I would say how he did with Haunting of Hill House, he loves setting up things, mm-hmm. and he loves putting you in a situation where you understand the atmosphere, and I really did enjoy that in certain aspects of it. And again, without going into specific points of the story, there's certain parts in the film where you're like, wow, I actually enjoy watching Abra doing things in this film, and she does a very phenomenal job. And I would say out of the last couple of years, she's a really good young actor that I've said and watched and be like, okay, this is a really great child actor that I want to watch.
Yeah, speaking of young child actors, Jacob Tremblay is in there for a hot minute.
Like 5 or 10 yep, minutes, maybe.
Just
right?
In there to get that paycheck. So good on his parents and agent. But it's a very faithful adaptation. I think if I had to change anything, I would. There's something that happens in the beginning that's related to Danny's alcoholism, something he does that he's not proud of, that in the book they keep pushing back to. Like, it's constantly in his mind that he did that. I think we could do, like, a small little, like, 5-minute spoiler thing.
Well, let me ask before we do that. Are you talking about in the first 5 minutes when he's in the apartment?
Yes.
Okay. All right. So, onto that notion, I guess, can we use it? We'll use this as our only spoiler. So, if you don't want to know this, fast forward about 2 minutes real quick. This is the only spoiler that we're going to do for Dr. Sleep. So on that notion, so basically when he's
takes the money.
So when he takes the money, that's when he basically started his alcoholism again?
No. When he took the money, so that's why they only showed it once, where he woke up and like the corpse of that lady and her kid were there, and she was saying, "We're still here. They haven't found us." Because essentially, he in the book he needed that money because he knew if he didn't go get a bottle of alcohol, he was gonna be starting to get messed up.
Right.
And so he had to go get alcohol, and so he took her money. And even though she had thrown up on herself and that kid was there, he didn't even try to, like, wake her up, nothing. So he left. He found out, and then he kept seeing those dreams. He found out years later they died there because he just left them.
And they really didn't address that.
And then, well, that they kind of did when Dick's ghost comes back and tells him, like, you owe it, you got to pay it forward.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. They do it, but it's just, like, not as well done. So I was going to say, in the book, that keeps coming up. That keeps coming up quite often.
He keeps hearing the little child and then seeing the woman.
I would have been... Okay. And that's why I was frustrated, because I was like...
And he can't lock them up, because he has this ability that he learned from Dick. So basically, after The Shining, when he's still a kid, Dick teaches him how to lock bad spirits away.
Right.
In boxes, in his mind.
And that's just the one spirit that he can't lock up in the box.
Yep, and that's also one of the reasons he goes and gets clean.
Completely transparent.
Because right after that, he gets that bottle, and then he shows up and meets Billy, and then Billy offers to help him.
See, all right, complete transparency. When I saw the girl, like, laid down and with her son, right, and when he was in his new space, and he's basically trying to, like, not deal with the alcoholism anymore, and he's thinking about taking a drink, I was like, who are they? And then as soon as you put two dead together, I was thinking to myself when we were watching, I said, that has to be the girl and the child from earlier, but I couldn't put two and two together at the first time, because I was like, they didn't really discuss that they died. But like you said, when Dick comes for one of the moments, he's like, you got to pay your dues, right? And I was thinking, is he talking about everything that he has led to, all the sins that he has done before getting to this point? I get it. But it was not just that, but it was also about them, because I thought that she was just going to wake up and it was going to be done. But the movie... One thing, and that's what I was going to say, one thing that I will say that was my only gripe. Now that I know that, I wish they would explain that a little bit better, because they really just breezed over that. And if that's a huge point in the book and that's not in the movie, sorry, this is the only spoiler we're giving, that kind of defeats the purpose, but it kind of gives that moment not as much clarity or as much emphasis as it does in the book. And I agree with you on that aspect, because I was thinking, I was like, as soon as you said it, I was like, wait, that has to be what I was thinking. And it was. All right, cool. Now, to that point, I wish there were certain moments in the film where they made it a little bit more emphasis. Hence that, right? And, I mean, I will also ask, I guess for me, besides, like we talked about Dick before, Dick was true to the novel, right?
He was true to the novel in the aspect of... Yeah, after the events of The Shining, Dick helped Danny learn to use it better. However, in the book, Dick didn't die in The Shining. He was just badly injured, so he was still alive, and he was kind of like a second father to Danny in the Dr. Sleep book, and then he died when Danny was probably in like his late teens, early 20s.
So before...
Before the events of Dr. Sleep,
okay.
Dick is dead.
Okay. So then, all right, so I was just going to say, how did you feel about the guy who played as Dick in this film?
I thought he was great.
Okay.
I thought he looked a lot like him. I thought Danny's mom, I thought she did a good job too.
Who was that actress?
I don't know.
I know I've seen her in something before, but she did a really phenomenal job as playing Shelley Duvall, because you can tell she's taking a lot of mannerisms from Shelley Duvall and putting that into her acting. And I don't know, I never seen the guy who plays as Jack Torrance either, so I was confused about that as well.
The thing I liked was they were all really good without coming off as, like, impersonations,
exactly. Like, for instance, like I said, the girl who plays, Danny's mom, she does a good job of being herself, but also showing different ways of how she, like, is Shelley Duvall in the same aspect of this character. And when Jack comes back in certain moments of the film, the actor who plays him does his own spin of Jack, which is a really good idea, which I really like. And it still wasn't like, okay, wow, he's exactly like Jack Nicholson, you know? And I enjoyed it. My only question for you is, also, since you've read the book and watched the film, when we get to certain aspects of the film, specifically when we get back to the Overlook Hotel, because in the trailers we discussed
that in the trailers, the Overlook Hotel is there. In the book, it's the remnants of the Overlook Hotel.
So that's what I was going to ask.
Because in the Shining novel,
The boiler situation blew up in The Shining. Okay. So
in the events of Dr. Sleep, like, the Overlook Hotel is all in, like, wreckage.
Okay. So basically it's I guess for me I would say is
the Overlook. But Danny still goes back there to use the spirits and everything.
Okay, so then, all right, that was my question, because I guess for me, it was like, I know in the Shining, Jack basically sacrifices himself to use the boilers to destroy the Overlook Hotel, so I guess in Dr. Sleep.
But in the Shining, the novel, he just died out in the maze.
You mean the film?
Yeah, in the film.
And so, now Danny comes back into the Overlook Hotel to basically clear his demons out. Okay, so same concept. Okay, and I guess my other question is gonna be in terms of the last third act of the film, mm-hmm. is that still true to form or?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah, like there's the final confrontation between Danny, Abra, and Rose the Hat, and it's very similar to what happens in the book.
I was going to say, okay, I guess my only thing is, I don't know if you would agree with me or not. I guess for me, in the third act, what happens is they change the tone from the entire film, right? So for the first two-thirds, almost three-fourths of the movie, there's one specific tone. It's more like an action thriller or adventure thriller, in a sense, with certain aspects of horror in it. And then when we get to the last act, because it's almost basically your final battle between the hero and the protagonist, it changes and tries to be a horror film. And one of my biggest gripes about it was it didn't know what tone it wanted to use. And I was kind of upset about that. I just felt like the film could have either went one whole way or it could have dabbled into it like it did the entire film. But instead, it tried to change its entire tone by the end of the film. And that's one thing that I just kind of was upset about, or just wishing I could have got a little bit better out of with the ending, just because you could tell Mike was trying to do things to help please both Stanley Kubrick fans and Stephen King fans of The Shining and of the books, also for Dr. Sleep, but you can tell that there was a different change in tone for the film, and that's what kind of bothered me about that, if that makes sense.
Yeah, I get that. I do not think that he did that simply to play for the fans of the Kubrick movie, because I feel like if you were going to do that, you would have taken more liberties to do that sort of stuff early in the movie to try to get people on the hook first. Like, the movie before the third act, like, it gets you on the hook without needing that, which I appreciate.
And I was going to say, which, that's what I'm saying, I would agree with that, but I feel like Mike Flanagan decided that also, okay, I know that this entire movie is a sequel to the book, but at the same time, I know some people are going to come in and say, hey, I'm coming here to look at something that's going to be close to the film that we saw with Stanley Kubrick. And I feel like he did a lot, not a lot, but he did certain parts of the film where you're wondering, not wondering, you're like, oh, okay, I see where you got that reference from, because he does a lot of references to Stanley Kubrick's film. We won't discuss that in here because I don't want to spoil the Easter eggs or the little nuggets that Mike throws inside the film. But like the nuggets that he does throughout, like in the first early two thirds of the film, are cool. And then you can definitely see, like, not forcibly handing it to you, but he throws some like references from like The Shining really hard to get people to like grip on that and say, "Oh, okay, we're gonna have some aspects of The Shining." That's my only thing. Like, I agree with you. This was more for the Stanley Kubrick. I'm not Stanley Kubrick fans, but the Stephen King people who read The Shining and Dr. Sleep. But he still, I feel like, tried a little bit to say, hey, this is also The Shining mm-hmm. fans as well, and this is my film that I want to kind of give y'all a little bit of nuggets for what happens in The Shining as well.
Yeah.
And so, I mean, I didn't have an issue with it. It's just, there was some parts of it I was just like, come on. Other than that, how did you feel about the scenes that they used in the trailer versus the scenes that they did in the film? If you know what I'm talking about in terms of...
I mean, the scenes you see in the trailer are really mainly used to, you know, get people excited. It's like, oh, it's the sequel to Shining.
Right.
You know, why didn't you call it Shining 2? That whole thing. But, I mean, it didn't bug me.
Okay. Okay. All right. And then are there anything else that you want to discuss, like either cons of the film or anything that you wanted to see?
I mean, it's long.
2.5 hours.
Yeah, it's 2.5 hours. I mean, it moves at a good pace. It does slow down at like 2 or 3 points. So, I mean, you probably could cut 5 to 10 minutes out, maybe.
I was going to say about 10 minutes, 10, 15. You would have been fine after that. Like, right at 2 hours and 10 minutes, 2 hours and 15, you would have been fine. But in certain aspects, he slowly drops the pace. And it could have been better. But other than that, I thought it was really good.
Mm-hmm.
I enjoyed it. My only thing is, I wish I would have known that this isn't a horror film, more of an action thriller, before I watched it. Because I probably would have been more... I would have been a lot happier watching it before I was like, ooh, we're about to get another scare fest. I'm ready for this. And it's not even close to remotely that. But other than that, I enjoyed it. I will say, unfortunately for me, I still love Stanley Kubrick's The Shining. We should do that one day, a Stephen King, like, movies, like, top five of those one day. We're going to put a pin in that project. But I will still honestly say this was a really great sequel. It was a really great film. Mike Flanagan did a phenomenal job with the acting, pacing and atmosphere. I enjoyed it. I definitely would watch this again. I do recommend people to watch it this upcoming weekend. What did you give it? 3.5 as well?
3.5, yep.
We both gave it 3.5. I liked Terminator Dark Fate and I liked Dr. Sleep. So if you have any chance of this weekend to watch either or, I would recommend Dr. Sleep first and then this. But I guess that'll be it.
That'd be it.
What see. Other movies are coming out?
I'm actually going to see Irishman on Friday.
That does come out this weekend.
Yep. Oh. So I'm going to go see it in the theater.
It's coming out in Draft House only, right?
Austin Film Society is also doing a screening.
So in that case, because that we're gonna watch that. Do you want to do Irishman when we come back?
Yeah, let's do Irishman.
Okay, perfect. We're definitely gonna be able to watch Irishman. I'm so excited, so excited. All right, now before I start flipping out because I want to watch Irishman, Johnny, where can the kids find you?
You can find me on Instagram and Twitter at Johnny the Wonder, and you can find my reviews and whatnot on Letterboxd at Johnny Boy Wonder.
And you can follow me on Instagram and Twitter at King Julian Owens. That is going to be it for Johnny and I today. Catch us back in 2 weeks when we talk about The Irishman, or if you want to do it in a week, let me know. But other than that, guys, thank you for joining us, and we'll see you guys next time.
Later.